Before I start this morning, I'm going to speak on the husband today. Are you ladies excited? But I just want you all to know that when I'm preaching this, I am not the perfect husband, and don't claim to be, and I am a work in progress. So, but I have to preach what the Bible says, and do my very best. Not to be a hypocrite, and I think in a measure sometimes we can all be hypocrites, but that doesn't make the truth not the truth. Even when we are hypocrites, the truth remains the truth, and we do our best not to lead a hypocritical life. But I do believe in measure sometimes that will be there. And hopefully less and less as we progress in our maturity. Saying that, let's move on to what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, regardless of who I am and who you are, the Bible is true. God wrote it, and we have to bow to it. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. I'm reading from the New King James, by the way. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. These are holy words, and they are not my idea, but this is from God, and we have to see that. We mentioned last week that a married couple should always be looking to do things to build and strengthen their marriage relationship. That needs to be a priority, because the reason why that is after marriage, as time goes on, we have a tendency to kind of sit back and relax, become familiar with one another, and take the marriage for granted and think that the marriage is going to continue and take care of itself. And that is not true. That is a huge deception, even among Christians or professing Christians, thinking that the marriage relationship is just going to take care of itself without any kind of labor or work or toil or involvement and investment. You know, our marriage is like a garden. And if you leave it unattended, if you have a garden, if you've ever done any kind of gardening outside before, if you leave it unattended for any short period of time, weeds begin to grow. And those weeds choke the fruit of your garden. And that is the same thing with our marriage. A biblical marriage takes constant attention, continuous surveillance by both the husband, especially the husband, and the wife, as we'll see today. We have to take our marriage serious if we are Christians. And I really want to emphasize that if you are in this church and you're a member of it, we take the marriage very serious. If you're going to have a Christian marriage, you need to take it serious, especially when it comes to fulfilling the biblical roles that we have in the marriage. Proverbs 14:23 in the NIV says, all hard work brings forth profit. All hard work brings forth a profit, but mere talk lends only to poverty. So I think this is absolutely true. Good things are accomplished in life by hard work. And the marriage is a good thing. And we should do everything we can to work toward a Christian marriage as a husband and wife. Marriage is going to be the biggest character test that you face as a married person in your life. It is the biggest character test that you will face in your life as a married person. And let me just say this, it will make you or break you at the judgment seat of Christ. Your marriage relationship either will make you or break you at the judgment seat of Christ. We need to see that. Many people don't see it. This is what faith sees. Faith is always looking toward the future. It's always having the day of judgment hanging over our heads. Very, very important to live by faith. If a marriage is going to be what God wants it to be, both the husband and wife must see its great value. Now, that has to be understood, because there are going to be marriages where the husband or the wife might not see the value. And really, it takes two people to have a Christian marriage. So we have to understand that not everybody is going to have a Christian marriage, because not everyone in a marriage is going to follow their roles as God wants them to. They're not going to see any value to doing that. And they're going to be worldly and think worldly. And they're going to have other priorities in their lives other than the marriage and the marriage relationship. Nothing except God should come before the marriage relationship. Nothing except God should come before it. We should have the highest priority on it above all human relationships on the earth. And let me just say that. It includes our children. We have to put our marriage relationship above our children. We don't want to fall into this trap of making our child an idol. When everything revolves around the child becomes the center of attention. Oh, don't do that. Don't make that. That is a huge mistake. We mentioned it when we talked about marriage killers, and that is a marriage killer. Let me just say this. God is a jealous God. We talked about it last week. And God gave and blessed us with children, not so they would take the place of Him, and not so they would take the place of your spouse. And people do this all the time. Your children should never be put before your spouse. I don't care how cute he is or how cute she is. Never, never do that. The order is this: you put God first, your spouse. That is the biblical order. The kids come after that. And that's how you love your children. That's how you raise them godly. You follow God's order. And that's why I am all for the husband and wife getting away at times, away from their children, and spending time together. Sending that message that my marriage is a priority. This whole thing where the child always has to be with the parents, and we're going to include them all. And no, I would say you want to send a message that your marriage is more important. And they should know that. Your relationship, nothing comes between you and your wife. Special, unique love, a covenant love between a husband and wife, not the same kind of love you have for your children. Last week, we talked about the role of the wife toward her husband. And we said that roles in marriage are so important to God. A marriage breaks down when the fundamentals and basic biblical roles are not carried out in the marriage. Marriages that glorify God will always go back to the basics. They'll always go back to the fundamentals and start from there. They'll ponder the question, what is the role that God has assigned to me as a husband or as a wife? And let me tell you, if those roles are not fulfilled for whatever reason, for ignorance, for neglect, for willful disobedience, you're going to have problems in the marriage. There will be problems. God has a specific role for the husband. God has a specific role for the wife. And these roles are not to be reversed. They're not to be put in some different order. They're not to be replaced with some psychology. These roles are defined and they're clearly outlined in the Holy Scriptures. And your marriage will not be at all looking like a Christian marriage if you don't, as a husband or wife, fulfill your responsibility in the marriage. Now, this is a short series. This will end the message. I'll get to marriage again later on, probably next year or sometime this year. But we'll keep going back to it. But I wanted to go over two of the most important and fundamental basic commands given to a married couple. And last week we spoke to the wives and their roles to submit to their husbands. And we said two things. I just want to quickly review two things in that message that I wanted you ladies to understand when you left the room. You submit in what? As unto the Lord in everything. Those are the two things. As unto the Lord in everything. And my suggestion to you, it's only a suggestion, I'm not commanding it, but to all the wives, go over your notes or go on the internet and listen to that message again if you're really serious about your marriage. Especially if you find yourself again and again opposing your husband's decisions when he attempts to make the final decision on anything you disagree on. It is a very serious issue. It is a grave issue. When a husband and wife have a difference and the wife refuses to submit to her husband's decision, you know, there is really nothing left for the husband to do. What's he going to do? He can't force anyone to do anything in his house. But I guess he could pray that she would have mercy, that she would get mercy at the judgment seat of Christ, because she's going to need it. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. And let me just say this, these basic fundamental rules, if they're disobeyed, you are going to experience all kinds of problems before Jesus Christ. And this needs to be taken seriously. She will submit in that day, by the way. The woman will submit when she stands before a man, Jesus Christ, on that day. He is not playing games with this word submission. And you need to read your Bible if you think he's playing games. I have warned you, and that's all I can do. That's all I can do. My hands are, as Paul said, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And that includes ladies. Now this week I want to address husbands. Listen, husbands, God has put us to be the head of the wife. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So you know what that means to be head? It means that we have a very weighty responsibility on our shoulders. It's huge. It is absolutely, I can't even begin to emphasize the responsibility that we have on our shoulders. To be head means that we are the leaders. And as the leader, we should be continually watching over our marriage. Constant surveillance. Because it is up to us as the leader, as the head, to direct the marriage in the right direction. We need to make sure that it's going in the right direction. And that might not be sometimes popular in the house. Okay? But we must do it. We must direct the house in the right direction. If the marriage is not going well, if it is not going well for the most part, it will be your failure in leadership. The reason why it's not going well is because of your failure to take proper leadership in the marriage. It went bad on your watch. The marriage went bad on the man's watch. So we got a great, huge responsibility before us. We are going to be held accountable for every single thing that goes on under our roof. Okay? So we want to make sure we have the right people under our roof. All right? I mean, we're going to have everything that goes on under our roof. The husband is going to be accountable for him. So if you're going to have an extended family under your roof, realize that you are going to be accountable for everything that goes on under your roof. All right? Very important to understand, men, as husbands. So not only does the husband need to understand this grave responsibility, this weighty responsibility, but I think the wife also needs to realize this, because if you think about it, she can either make it extremely difficult for her husband to be head, or she can lighten his burden. It's up to her, really. A man can do nothing about it. And some men are really going to have a hard time taking rule in their house. Their rulership is going to be contested on every turn. I want to read this verse, and I really want our wives to pay attention to this verse, because I think it applies to the marriage, although in the context it's most likely speaking of church leadership. In Hebrews 13:17, Rudy mentioned this last week in the discussion. The writer of Hebrews says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." They watch for your souls. The husband is watching for your soul. As they that must give account. They have to give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for who? For you. I mean, this verse, I believe, applies to marriage. It is the husband who watches over his marriage, his wife, his family, his kids, and he must give account. Wives, you can make your husband's rulership a joy, or you can make it with grief. It's up to you. I mean, God made you to be a helpmeet. And compliment his rule, not contend with him. Nevertheless, husbands, understand that some wives are going to refuse to change their ways, and your rulership will be very difficult, to say the least. Be ready. And that's no excuse, men. That's why we're men. That's why we go out in the world and work and contend with other men in the workforce. And we're made for this. We're made for conflict. We're made for battle. That's manliness. And we have no excuse. Even if the wife refuses to do her role, we have no excuse before God. We have been given a role to do. And even if your wife makes it difficult for you, you must do your very best to please God. To please God. And be a man and fulfill your role. And that, what is the husband's basic fundamental role toward his wife? We've read it this morning. Paul commands husbands to love their wives. I mean, this is not some ordinary love. This is a very different love. This is a unique love. He goes on to describe it, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That is how a husband is to love his wife. I mean, the example that the husbands have set before them is a high and lofty example. First of all, I want to say this. No husband can love his wife the way Christ loved the church if he has first not given himself to God. The husband first has to give himself to God. 2 Corinthians 8:5. "And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." So husbands, we have to first give ourselves to the Lord. First. We have to set the Lord before our face every single day. He is the one that must be our head, our leader. We need His grace if we're going to even begin to try to love our wives as He loved the church. We need His power. We need His encouragement. We need His strength. We need to put Him before our face every day. We need to submit ourselves wholly to Him. Give ourselves, not sparing anything, but give ourselves wholly to God in prayer, in the study of the Word of God. If we want to fulfill our biblical role in any measure at all. As the leader of the house, as the head of the wife, we must make sure that we are always right with God. We cannot take vacations from God. We got to be dwelling in His Word, meditating on His Word, hiding the Word of God in our hearts in Psalm 119, verse 11, so we don't sin against God. No husband can love his wife properly the way Christ loved the church until he has a proper relationship with God. Jesus loved the church, but He loved the Father first. He loved the Father first. He gave Himself first to the Father. In John 17, 19, Jesus says, "For their sakes I sanctify myself. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." We need to follow in the steps of Jesus. He set Himself apart to be holy for the church's sake. That's the there. That's the pronoun there is the church. He said, "I sanctified myself and set myself apart for the sake of the church." And the husbands, in the same manner, we need to set ourselves apart as holy for our wives, for our kids. Next time that you're tempted, husbands, to do something that you don't want, that you actually want to do, and you know that it's wrong, you think you might get away with it, think of your children. And think most importantly about your wife. Jesus sanctified Himself for others. And we need to sanctify ourselves for others because love is always thinking about others. Love thinks about others. We have to see life not just through our own eyes, but we have to see life through our wife's eyes. We have to step into their shoes and be identified with them, as we'll see in a few minutes. Be holy and pure for your wife. Be holy in your leadership. Let God's Word sanctify you, set you apart from sin and evil desires and worldly attractions. You know, we are to love our wives as Jesus loved the church. Jesus was never at all caught up in worldly amusements. Never was. Not one time. He never lusted for promotion in this life. Never once. He never played with secret sin. This is how He loves the church. This is how we should love our wives. Be holy, be sanctified for the sake of your family. Your family will only go as far in holiness as you do, really. You're the leader. Jesus commanded His disciples in Luke 14, 26, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate," the contemporary English version has, "love Me more than his father and mother, wife and children." Notice that. Wife and children. Brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. You know, I think every wife in this church should desire their husband to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than them. I think that is something that all of our wives here should want for their husbands, that they would love Christ more than them and anything else on this earth. Don't you want that in your husbands? To have a husband that loves Jesus Christ more than you and anything else. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. This is how husbands are to rule their homes well, is that they put Christ first in their life. They love Him more than anything and anyone. This is how to love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. When we put Jesus Christ and our love for Him first, He is our head. We cannot give ourselves to our wives or anyone else unless we first love the Lord and give ourselves wholly to Him in everything. Husbands, love your wives. This word love, as I have explained before and others have brought this out, this is an action verb. It is an action verb. In other words, it is more than just sweet words without action. It's something we do. It's something that can be seen. It's something that can be experienced. It includes words. Love has a way of communicating, not only in words, but in body language. But it's love. It's works of love. It's works of love. This is a verb. It's in the imperative mood. It's a command. Now, the world will think we're crazy. They think Paul's crazy here. That he's commanding husbands to love. Because to the world, it's nothing but a feeling. It's a feeling that comes and goes and just happens. You cannot command it. How can you command love? You fall into love. And then you fall out of love. Right? And that's why people get divorces. Well, one time I did love, but now I fell out of love. No longer love them anymore. The present tense of this verb means it's something we should always be doing. This is the primary duty to our wives. And let me just say this, it should never, never grow cold over time. It is our responsibility to keep it fervent, to keep it warm, to keep it hot. Did you hear me this morning? We need to have hot love for our wives. Amen, men? All right. Just wanted to make sure you're there with me. And this love is steadfast. This love is strong. It should be committed. This is how we rule our wife. We don't shout at her, "Submit to me," till we turn blue in the face. "You're not submitting to me." That is not how we love our wives. Paul described the nature of love and defined it in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we don't have to come up with our own fancy definitions of what love is. Paul defines it for us. And you know, men, we need to go over these passages every day, I think. I think we should be committed to go over these passages every day. And I think that is because we have a high and lofty example before us. And it's something we need, if the judgment seat of Christ, that our marriage is going to play such an important role, which I'm convinced it is, such a role at the judgment seat of Christ, we should think of ways that we can love our wives the way Christ loved the church. And Paul defines love here in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. This is a good start. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Men can be rude sometimes, obnoxious and rude, and speak rudely to their wives. Ways that they wouldn't even speak to a woman outside of their house, but they would dare speak to their wife like that. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. We get provoked many times in anger. And We need to control our anger and make sure that it's not sinful, self-centered, egotistical, proud anger. We need to make sure our anger is under control of the Holy Spirit. Thanks no evil. It's very important that we cover our wives, that we don't, we're not always nitpicking at their faults and mistakes. That can be a very big problem in a marriage if we're always looking for absolute perfection that we don't even see in ourselves. Again, hypocritical and, you know, judgmental, that wrong kind of judgment. We need to think no evil toward our wife. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. That is also something I'm going to bring out in a minute. And rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So this is the kind of love that we are to have. Love is a command to the husband. It is that, you know what that means, right? It means it's a choice. It means it's a choice. We don't rely on our emotions. We don't try to work up this love. It's not some kind of chemical reaction we wait to happen. It is a command. Love gives. That's what we see here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Love gives. Love serves. It doesn't look for anything in return. Jesus said in Matthew 20, 20 to 28, 25 to 28, Matthew 20, 25 to 28, Jesus called them to himself, called his disciples, and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. And he basically is saying he's using the rulers of the world, and he's pointing to them and saying, that's how they behave. That's how they rule. They rule like tyrants. They rule with no mercy. They rule for their own selfish gain. Pointing at the world rulers. And he says, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as, notice that, just as, that's what we saw in Ephesians chapter 5, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. How did Jesus Christ love the church? He did not come to be served, but to serve. To serve. To give him to give his life. Notice that what it says. To give his life. Not just part of his life. He gave everything. To give his life a ransom for many. And this is the love that Jesus Christ had for his church. Love is not about getting something. It's about giving. It's sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love. J.R. Miller says this. If you ever want to read some convicting little articles on life, marriage, go to gracegems.org, I think it is. It might be .com. Gracegems.org. And these, it's chock filled with Puritan writers, and they have a section by J.R. Miller. But he says, you see, when the Scripture talks about love, it talks about the sacrifice that you make for the betterment of someone else. You can only measure love by your sacrifice, not by your enjoyment. If you talk about loving your wife and you mean by that she does a lot of good things for you, that's not love. That's her loving you. To say that a man loves his wife is to talk about the sacrifice that you make for her. And I like how Jacob, the Bible says, loved Rachel. This is pretty incredible. I mean, we want love defined. I mean, this is what love does. This is love in action. In Genesis 29:18, Jacob loved Rachel. And in verse 20, it says, Jacob served. He served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. For the love he had to her. Oh, that's convicting, isn't it, men? Isn't it, husbands? I mean, that kind of love is a love that we are to have for our wives. When they ask us to do something and we get all bent out of shape and say we got other things on the burner. And, you know, I just think of Jacob here and his love for Rachel, that he was willing to serve 7 years, and it seemed like a few days. Why? For the love he had to her. So let's think about that, guys. When our ladies need help in some area of the house, let's be willing. Let our love show forth and shine forth and be willing to go the extra mile for them. Let me just say this about describing love and the love that Jesus Christ had for his church. When we love something, we give it our time. Think about that. When you love something, you give it your time. For an example, and men can really identify with this. I think more American men could identify with this example, but I can pull, I think, our context into it by giving another example. But a man may love his car. A man may love his new gadget, whether it be the new iPhone 12 or the Android 25 or whatever the numbers are right now. I don't know. I've lost track. Or he might have the new tablet that came out, and boy, he loves it. And he shows his love for that new car. He puts the new rims on the car and gets the mirrors, the sporty mirrors on it, gets that thing polished, makes sure that there's no blemishes and dents, and spends time and invests in the car. Same with the tablet. He gets all the accessories, the thing that goes over, what's that thing, the screen protector. He gets the nice leather cover for it, making sure that, oh, that precious tablet, that precious iPhone doesn't drop on the ground and break. You getting the picture, men? He spends time and he invests. And why? He values it. And he cares for it. He invests in it. Why? Because he feels that it's worth it. He feels that it's worth it. It is valued to him. That is the picture, men, that we have before us. If we love our wives, we give them our what? Yes, time. We give them our time. Very important. We give them our attention. When we are with them in time. That could be something. We could give them our time, but then our mind can be somewhere else, right? So we give them our... How many have been there? Oh my, help me, Lord. And we give them not only our time, but also our attention when we have time with them. Why? Because she has great value. And we need to treat her like that. They are the objects of our love. And we need to care for them just as we would care for some gadget. We need to go beyond that. They're not just some gadget. They are our wives. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So husbands, we need to dwell with our wives with what? Understanding. And that could be very difficult for us, because sometimes it seems very hard for us to understand the female race. It's very difficult for us sometimes. And you know, God has made us different. You know, all this talk about compatibility. You know, people say, well, they go on these sites and they look for the perfect mate and they're looking for all the compatibilities and stuff like that. You know what? That compatibility stuff is all rubbish. It's all rubbish, you know what I mean? You don't need to be compatible when you get married. I mean, really. I mean, you'll find out that you aren't. You think that, oh, they meet all my specifications. You get married, you find out, you know what? We aren't compatible. That's okay. God has a plan. God has a plan. And there's more to life than compatibility. He's using your wife to help you be trained and ready to reign with Him. And He's using you on the wife to help her be ready and trained to reign with Him. Higher things in the marriage than just this compatibility thing. Don't buy into it. It's a lie from the devil. You don't have to be compatible and look for the most perfect person to be compatible with. You won't find it. Where am I at here? So we need to understand our wives. And, you know, how in the world are we going to understand our wives if we're not spending time with them? I mean, how are we going to understand the Lord's will if we're not opening the Bible and spending time with God's Word? You're not going to know God's will. So the same thing, you don't really know anyone unless you spend time with them and get to know them and understand them. And a great part of that is communication. And being a not just a talker, but being a listener. And sometimes, men, that's exactly what our wives want. They just want us to listen. And sometimes for us men, we have a little switch that turns on the filter. And we only are listening to things that really suits us, that we find important. And everything else goes into the filter and out somewhere, and we don't remember. You said that to me? When did you say that to me? It's not, communication is not just talk. It is very, very important to listen. And men, it's very important. I brought this out before. Very important to watch body language. Not only in your wife, but in yourself. Okay, we can say something, and with our body language, our wife interprets it a whole different way. Very important. See, these things are very important. We have to be good listeners. That's love. It shows that we care when we listen attentively. It shows that we are interested in understanding them, right? That's important to our wives, right, wives? Wives, are you there? All right, just checking now. Isn't it important that your husband understands you? Okay, just making sure. I'm not talking out the side of my mouth. We can talk more about this in the discussion if I miss anything. But I want to close this morning with this thought. Husbands, understand when we love our wives as Christ loved the church, that love must always be based on the truth. One of the most dangerous things in the world is the love without the truth. You have many husbands today that are not Christians that you would look at their marriage and, man, that guy seems like he really loves his wife. He does everything for her. He does everything. But I don't know if that is love in the truth. Okay? Love is not manipulated. True biblical love is not manipulated and guided by emotions. It's guided by the truth. And understand, ladies, if your husband loves you the way Christ loved the church, that does not mean he does everything you want him to do. Husbands, when we love in the truth, there will be times in life that you do not stand on the same side as your wife and kids. You stand where? On the side of truth. You stand on the side of truth. And you can do this in a gentle way, but you must never compromise as the leader to what is true, what is holy, what is right, what is good, what is biblical. Never compromise on the truth. Love does not compromise. It's not manipulated. We must stand on the side of our convictions, what's right and what's good and what's holy, what's in the Word of God. Love is always on the side of truth. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So we have to understand that love is not this blind love that sees no sin, sees no evil, and does everything that the wife wants us to do. Even when it's sin, people do it. Well, what am I going to do? You're going to stand up like a man and not do it. Notice Paul in Ephesians 5. I don't know, many people stop when they talk about the love the husband is to have for his wife. They don't read further on in Ephesians, and we read it this morning. But notice that the love that the husband has toward his wife, it is a love that is toward holiness. It is a love that's toward purity. Let's read it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Many people stop there. And then they come up with their own inventions in their head of what love is. But Paul tells us, he goes on, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I mean, love, according to this example, is a sacrifice of self, but it's not without purpose. It has purpose behind it. The whole purpose that Christ's love for the church sacrificed himself and died for the church was to make her holy and pure. It was for her sanctification. Christ died for the church, his wife, so that she would become holy. Some people miss this. To present her a glorious church. Not a mindless sacrifice, but a sacrifice that had her best interest at heart. And what are the best interests of our wife? An unlimited credit card? Is that the best interest for your wife? What is the best interest for your wife? Diamonds and gold and new cars and new houses and more stuff and private schools and this and that. What is Jesus talking about here? What's the most important? Bowing down to every whim that the woman has? No. God cares much more for our holiness. For our holiness than our physical needs and desires. The goal of Christ's love for the church is to make the church holy. So what are we saying? I ain't saying it. The husband needs to have the best interests of his wife in mind. And what is it? Her spiritual interests. That's what he's saying here. The husband is to sacrifice his own interests so that his wife can become holy. And the wife is to submit to that sacrifice and to that leadership of her husband. So God wants us to be holy more than anything else in life. And husbands, that is how we are to love our wives. Our goal for our wives is a close walk with God. That they would have a close walk with God. That's what we want in our marriage. That's what we want in our love. We want their sanctification. So this tells me if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, our greatest concern for our wife should be their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's heavy. Not just giving them all the physical things and all the things that they... I'm not saying neglect those things. But that's Ephesians 5 is talking about something way more important here. And Paul says that we are to do this. And this is to be done by the Word. He might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the Word. We should have our wife's interest in our mind, and her chief interest should be that we get her into the kingdom. Really. We are responsible to encourage our wives in faith. To encourage them to love God more than us and more than the world. Husbands, we should encourage our wives by the Word. That's what Paul says, by the Word. We should be directing our marriages and homes by the Word. We should be the ones that initiate, the ones that promote spirituality in the home. That's our role, husbands. That's how Jesus loved the church. Sometimes what your wife wants and what your kids want is not what God wants. And love, and real biblical Ephesians 5 love, is going to stand on the side of love. And that love here stands in truth. And love corrects. And we speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Love is guided by the Word, not by feelings. So men can be loving and understanding without compromising their position and authority. Now Paul defines more how a husband is to love his wife. He describes Ephesians 5:28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. I mean, what Paul is saying here, hey, if we don't love our wives, we hate ourselves. Isn't that interesting? Very interesting. I think it's interesting. I've lost a page of my notes here. I'm looking for it. I did that last week too. Ah, there it is. Inside my folder. There we go. For no man or no one has ever hated his own flesh, Ephesians 5:29, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. So the Bible tells the husband to love his wife as his own body. Now men, take a moment, analyze what you do for your body. Analyze how you feel about your body. How you take care for it. How you provide for it, the physical care that you give your body. When your body has a need, when it has an urge, you are what? Quick to take care of it. Husbands, we are professionals, we are experts at nourishing and cherishing our own flesh. We need to do the same to our wives. When that finger gets a splinter inside of it, or something on my hand begins to hurt, what do? We're so careful with it, making sure that we don't take a hammer to it. How many of us ever take a hammer to our hurting hand? We nourish it, we cherish it, and we need to love our wives in the same manner. This means we need to be attentive and sensitive to the needs of our wife. That's what the words mean here. Nourish and cherish. It means that we are sensitive and attentive to the needs of our wife, just as we are to the needs of our body. This means that we treat them with tenderness and affection. Any man that goes out of his way to intentionally cause his wife pain, he doesn't love his wife. Because that's not how you love your body. If we're hungry, what do we do, Ashish? Eat. Ah, we eat. And we say, when is dinner ready? We're hungry, right? And when we're thirsty, we drink. When we're tired, we rest. If we have a wound of some kind, we take consideration toward it. We make sure that it's taken care of in a gentle way. This is the level of care and concern that Paul says we need to have for our wives. This is not left ambiguous for us to make up. Very clearly defined. I don't know about you men, but I fall short in this in many ways, and I'm learning. Ladies have a huge task before them in the word submit. And we got a monumental task before us in the word love. Hey, you know what? Let's help each other out on this. All right? I mean, let's be a team here, all right? Let's help each other out. It's not easy. It's not easy. But that's how we are to love our wives. We have to learn to do this. And I'm sure there are some husbands in here that are absolutely incredible at this. And I want to meet you and I want to learn from you. J.R. Miller, and I'm closing with this. Every husband should understand that when a woman, the woman of his own free, deliberate choice, places her hand in his and thus becomes his wife, she has taken her life with all its hopes and fears, all its possibilities of joy or sorrow, all its capacity for development, all its tender and sacred interest, and placed it in his hand. He is then under the most solemn obligation to do all in his power to make her life happy, noble, and blessed. To do this, he must be ready to make any personal sacrifice. Nothing less can be implied in loving as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's pray. Oh God, we do need to pray as husbands this morning. Help us, Lord, to get a glimpse of the love that you had for the church. Help us to love our wives as Paul described here in Ephesians 5. Knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men. And we pray, God, that our conscience could be persuaded to value our wives, to nourish and cherish them as our own bodies, which we're so good at doing. Help us to do this also with our wife. God, help us in this endeavor, and may we have grace and learn to accept His grace and His power and live in no excuses and to fulfill the role that God has for us as husbands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.